Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Last weekend, my daughter had a play date at the Y, and she was so excited to go swimming inside. But I was a little apprehensive because I've been sensitive to chlorine in the past, and this was an indoor pool. So about 20 minutes inside, I started seeing these wavy lines, which I thought, oh, cripe, this is a migraine. Started getting a wicked bad headache, got out of the pool, was like, we got to go home. And I got I would say as far as migraines go, it wasn't the worst, but I was wondering if it could be brought on by chlorine. So I'm really excited to have Susie Cohen, America's pharmacist here. We're going to be talking all about headaches. She has a great book, Headache Free, Relieve Migraine, Tension, Cluster, Menstrual, and Lyme Headaches. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Andrea. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Okay, so this is Lisa again, and I'm curious, could chlorine cause my headache? Now, when I did research on the net, it seemed like it could, but I want to hear from an expert.
Yes, it can. Chlorine and other compounds, including like artificial sweeteners and anything with vinegar in it, these are all what I call migraines. And a migraine is just basically something that could go off in your body and cause a headache. So it goes off like a grenade and causes a migraine. So where I got the word. I made the word up. It's called migraine. And so chlorine can do that. And also, this is interesting. Most people don't know about chlorine. It can displace iodine on your thyroid gland, and it can cause lower levels of thyroid hormone, and that can leave you feeling fatigued and holding on to weight and losing hair, to all the signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism. So if you're a swimmer, you want to supplement with some iodine because the chlorine is going to compete on the thyroid gland, and it's going to win. It's like a bully. It's going to push iodine off, and it's going to win.
I love that you're talking about iodine because I've been doing a lot of research lately about iodine, and I know it's super important for our, you know, women's breasts, for our ovaries, our reproductive system. How much iodine should we have in our diet, and what are the best sources of getting that iodine?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that the amount of iodine that you take should be based upon a urine test, which is just easy. You know, you pee in a cup. I like that better than a patch test. And the urine test is done overnight. It's called an overnight catch. And then they'll determine how low your levels are. I don't like to give people a blanket dosage for iodine because you see dosages anywhere from 500 micrograms, which that isn't even a milligram, right? That's a half of a milligram, all the way on up to 12 and a half milligrams, sometimes taken a few times a day. So that is a huge, huge range. So I like to say to dose that on your individual levels, which can be determined by this urine test. And that's important. A lot of doctors will use a skin patch test to test you for iodine. And to me, that doesn't work because it's always going to be positive. So the urine test is really the best, no matter what you're told. And as far as like food sources, I would say, you know, oysters and kelp and seaweed, like you might get at a sushi restaurant.
Very interesting. You know, Susie, I didn't realize that you could take an overnight catch of urine to determine iodine levels. So I like vitamin D, I always tell people, get your levels tested, you know, vitamin D and iodine. And it's such an important, you know, mineral for us to have as women. Super, super important.
Yeah.
Most of us are deficient. So how can people find out where to get the test?
At any doctor's office, they can offer both the vitamin D test and the iodine test. And I'm so glad you brought up vitamin D, though, because for some people, vitamin D is actually a migraineade. I know we're all trying to ramp up levels of it, especially in Canada, because we're up so high above the equator and we have seasonal affective disorder, you know, a form of depression that can happen from low vitamin D status. So I am a big believer in vitamin D, but I just want to say it here to our listening audience. If you're taking vitamin D or you started in the last 6 months and you notice that you're getting more migraines, this can be the result of vitamin D causing it or contributing somehow. And it's a little complex, but I do explain it in my headache-free book.
Oh, good. Speaking of that, tell us a little bit more of things that we should keep in mind when it comes to headaches, prevention, treatment.
Okay, so the big deal is to get rid of the migraines. So for any given person, it could be anything. We've talked about artificial sweeteners and vinegar and chlorine. It could also be MSG. It could be gluten from food. It could be dairy, soy, corn, egg. God, I mean, I could just go on. It could be anything. So finding out what your migraine is important. That's job one. And I go through ways to sort that out in my book. As for remedies, I think two of the best that I could recommend would be magnesium and riboflavin. So magnesium is like your natural chill pill, and it helps relax blood vessels, even those around the brain. And that's good, because when there's pressure around the brain from those blood vessels, then you get a headache. So magnesium goes a long way in doing that, as well as reducing blood pressure, and it's good for muscle pain and fibromyalgia. The riboflavin is important, not so much for the intensity of the headache. I don't think it'll help that, but it will reduce frequency. So if you're prone to 6 migraines a month, you might get down to 1 or 2 if you take a high-quality riboflavin.
Now, what about for the menstrual migraine? I got those probably the first time a couple years ago, and I've only had a few, but those literally knocked me out for the day. They were terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm so sorry to hear that. Those are bad, and they're really hard to treat, because a menstrual headache is really based upon your individual hormone and the balance of these different hormones. For most women, it's from high estrogen. But I just want to say it could be from super low estrogen, too. But most of the time, it's from excessive amounts of estrogen, like we get from the pill or from hormone replacement, or maybe from estrogenic compounds that we get from drinking out of plastic water bottles and eating commercial beef and whatnot. And so you can tame that estrogen with a few different things. One that I recommend, one supplement, is I3C. It stands for indole-3-carbinol, and you can buy it at any health food store. I'm sure Natural Savvy has good brands.
You know, Susie, you know, now that you mentioned, you know, supplements, I know that you recently launched your own line, and I'm just curious, is there something that people can find there in terms of, let's say, for headache relief?
Well, there's two things. I do have a form of magnesium that is really hard to get. It's physician formulated, if you will, so it's really hard to get. Now, I like it because it's a combination of magnesium malate, and the malate portion comes from green apples, and that helps with muscle pain. So the magnesium that I sell at my site, which is Script, it's called scriptessentials.com, I think is very good, and it should cause diarrhea like a lot of magnesium supplements can. So people looking for high-quality magnesiums can also look for magnesium chelate, magnesium glycinate, and like I said, this magnesium malate. The other star product that I have is my own custom formulation called ThyroScript. And ThyroScript is designed to help support the thyroid gland, and it's also intended to help increase peripheral, meaning outside of the brain, activation of our thyroid hormone. In a nutshell, what that means is that our thyroid hormone needs to work inside every single cell, inside trillions of cells all over our body, and that peripheral activation doesn't normally occur very easy. A lot of people have trouble doing that. So ThyroScript can help with that peripheral activation, and it can also protect the thyroid gland from gluten and dairy. And it does that because I've included a digestive enzyme in it called dipeptidylpeptidase. And this naturally occurring digestive...
Okay.
I know. Nobody has, but you make it. You actually make it. And it's in there, and it protects the thyroid gland.
You know what I want to do, Susie, because we're out of time for today, and I know we could talk to you for literally forever, what I'd love to do is have you come back on. And I want to get into the nitty-gritty about some of these supplements and the vitamins, because I do think, like, you know, I have questions about magnesium bisglycinate and just the different kinds that people could take versus, you know, what gets absorbed better. So I'm going to thank you for being on the show today, and I am super excited to have you back on in the future. If you'd like to learn more about Susie, you can visit her website at Susie Cohen. That's SUZY Cohen.com. Or you could follow her on Twitter at Susie Cohen. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.